Today's shir is Masechta Bava Batra Daf Kuf Yudalid, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Yudalid Amin Aleph, three lines from the top. Itmar. Says the Gemara, we learned Kinyan regarding an act of a Kinyan. At Emes Eichhoizer, until Kuwan can retract from this Kinyan. Rav Amar Kozman Shiyoshvin, as long as they are still sitting in the same location. And Rav Yosef Omer Kozman Shaiskin Baisinyan, as long as they're still dealing with the same topic, the topic that they got involved with regarding the Kinyan. In framing the discussion of this Gemara, the Rishonim make a number of comments. Some Rishonim suggest that our Gemara is only referring to a situation of a Shchimera, that a person that we have been discussing who's very ill, Direi Shchimera Kiksuvim Kamsurim Dami, and such a person is making a Kinyan. But furthermore, as we have learned so many times, Direi Shchimera Kiksuvim Ukmasurim Dami, and therefore the halacha is that if Shchimera gives away all of his assets, there is no need for a Kinyan. So the case that we are referring to, say the Rishonim, is when a Shchimera did a Kinyan b'miktsas, that gave over only some of his assets, where the halacha is that we don't then apply the rule of Divrei Shchimera Kiksuvim Kamsurim Dami, because that rule is only applied when he's giving away everything. And since the halacha of Kiksuvim Kamsurim Dami is not then applicable, a kinyan is required. And our Gemara is saying that the Gemara now is discussing how long can one retract that kinyan until Machlokes of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. However, there are Rishonim that suggest that our Gemara is not necessarily only speaking about a kinyan of a Shchimera. Our Gemara is also referring to any kinyan, even the kinyan of a Bari, even the kinyan of a healthy individual, that he has the right to retract up to a certain point. Furthermore, the Rishonim seem to learn, most Rishonim are of the opinion that, as we have learned many times, there are different types of kinyanim. Kinyan Meshicha, Kinyan Hagbah, Kinyan Suder, and many Rishonim are of the opinion that when our Gemara is discussing the ability to retract a Kinyan, our Gemara is only referring to Kinyan Suder, a Kinyan Chalipin. And there are two explanations why our Gemara is only specifying Kinyan Suder. One explanation is we know that a Kinyan Suder doesn't require that the actual object, the actual item that's being sold, be transferred. Rather, it's more like a symbolic Kinyan. By somebody lifting up a pen or any object, that symbolizes and confirms a Kinyan. And therefore, explained the Rishonim, it was quite typical that if two individuals met and on the spur of the moment decided between themselves that they are going to make a kinyan, that would be a valid kinyan. They would use a kinyan suder. But since the kinyan, as I just described, was very likely done only on the spur of the moment, that's why by this kinyan that Chazal give them the ability to retract, and we have the Machlokes Rabbi Rav Yosef till when. Other Rishonim give a different explanation. One makes Kinyan Suder different than all other Kinyanim. And they explain, by all other Kinyanim, as I said a moment ago, the actual item that's being transferred is actually there and is the subject of the Kinyan. You pick up Hagbah, you actually pick up the item that you're going to transfer, or you do Meshicha, or you do Mesira, the various other Kinyanim. Whereas over here, the actual item by the Kinyan Suder isn't here. It's only a situation of where somebody does a symbolic Kinyan, and since the actual item is not here, that's why here Chazal gave them the opportunity to be Chayzer, to go back Machlokes Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. However, I did see that the Mefarshim and Paiskim continue to make a number of qualifications. Certainly the halacha that we've learned many times. They're up to the point where it's Toich Kedai Dibur, that the halacha, in all areas of halacha, is that up to the point of Toich Kedai Dibur, somebody could retract. Here too, that rule will apply. Our Gemara is not speaking if there's a chance to retract past the typical halacha of a person always being able to retract Toich Kedai Dibur. Another point that the Pais can make, that certainly in a situation which is common, that when two litigants sit down to a din Torah, the first thing that happens is that they are mekabel kinyan, because that shows a commitment, that's a kinyan that they will follow the psak of Beis Din. Point out the paiskim that that kinyan is certainly not the kinyan that our Gemara is discussing, and in that situation everyone will agree that the kinyan is effective immediately. Furthermore, the chroinim, I saw Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, explains as follows. If our Gemara were having this machloikis between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, how long one can retract from the kinyan, it's not to be understood that, let's say, we have a situation where two individuals sit down to a kinyan suder, and they do the kinyan suder, but they're doing it at a business meeting or at a whatever situation, and it takes them a long time until they actually finish the meal or finish the meeting. Does that mean that the kinyan really wasn't effective until the end of that meeting, until they got up? Of course not, explained the Paiskim. Rather, they explain that what the halacha is saying is as follows. The kinyan is effective immediately. But even though the kinyan is effective immediately, still the halacha is that even though the kinyan is effective immediately, they still, Chazal gave them the opportunity, for the reasons that we explained, to retract. But if they don't choose to retract, the kinyan is effective from when it was actually done. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Sir Rabbi Yosef comments, Kavasid di Mestabra. It seems that my opinion is the correct opinion. Damar Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda taught us, Shloisha shenichnasu levakas achayla, we learned in the previous shir, that if three individuals come to visit a sick person, and while they're there, the sick person tells them how he would like his estate to be divided, Ratzu kaisvim, they could choose to act in the capacity of Edim, Ratzu oisendin, or if they want, they could act in the capacity of Dayanim. And they could sit down, and as we learned in the previous year, dividing a Yerusha, certainly if we're not following the laws of succession that we've been learning in our Shurim, requires a Beis Din. It has the rules of a Din Torah. And these three people could act in that capacity. Says the Gemara, V'sakadatach, if we're going to say, Kozman Shiyoshvim, that as long as they're still sitting at that sitting, they could retract, Leichish asked the Gemara, why shouldn't we be concerned, Del Mahadabay? And here we have a Machloikis, Rashbam and Tosfos, how to understand the Gemara's question. The Rashbam explains that the Gemara's question is as follows. Here we're saying that these three people can act as Dayanim immediately. But why can they act as Dayanim immediately, since this person has the right to still retract? His right to still retract should prevent this din Torah from being a valid din Torah. Because in the Torah that takes place during a time where the rules are not yet established should not be considered a valid din Torah. That's how the Rashbam learns. Tosfos is not satisfied with the Rashbam's pshat, because Tosfos says the words Leichish Dilma Hadabay don't seem to make sense. And therefore, Tosfos learns the Gemara's questions as follows. They're going to sit down. They're going to have a din Torah. And then since afterwards, this person has a right to retract, it will turn out that the din Torah that they had was really not a valid din Torah if he retracts on what he said. And therefore, Chazal, in their concern for the covet of Beis Din, that it shouldn't turn out that they did something which turns out to be a meaningless din Torah, would have never allowed such a din Torah to take place. Amar Ravashi, so said Ravashi, Amrit l'shmatz kamed Rav Kahana. I set over this discussion before Rav Kahana, and when I said it to him, I asked him ul Rav Yosef menicha. Rav Yosef's opinion was that kov manch oiskin b'ayse inyan, and Rav Yosef felt that his opinion is a lot better than the other opinion of kov manch yoishvin. Asked the Gemara, according to Rav Yosef, why is it not a problem? Why, according to him, aren't we concerned? V'leichish d'mahadabei that kov manch oiskin b'ayse inyan, he's going to change his mind, and therefore the same question should be applicable. Amay islach l'mayimah. How does Rav Yosef defend his position? That's referring to a situation, the Saliku Minyana Luyana. They change topics. And since they change topics, the person no longer has the ability to retract. And since he no longer has the ability to retract, that's why the dentara that the shleishisha that came to visit the sick person would be a valid dentara. Says the Gemara, Hachinami, so too can Rabbi's opinion be defended by saying that's referring to a situation, the kamu for hada yisivu, that they got up and then they sat down again, and therefore since they already got up, this cannot be a situation where this kinyan can be retracted, and therefore the kinyan, and therefore the dentara will certainly be a valid dentara. Says the Gemara, the hilchos kavaseid Reb Yosef, the halacha follows the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, besada, in the case of a sada. This is a case that we learned earlier in the Masechta on Daf Yud Beis, which refers to a situation where a brother owned a field, and then the father died, and the father left a number of fields, and one of the fields that the father left for Yerusha was next to the field that this brother already owned. So he claimed, and he said, that since we're dividing our father's Yerusha anyway, I should get the field next to the field that I already own. And the Gemara says that the other brothers can say that they're not agreeable. The Gemara used the words, it's a situation, kinchosov shabal meroyim. And the Gemara has the Rishonim have a number of ways of explaining that Gemara. One explanation is that the brothers could say that this specific field that you're claiming that you want is really more valuable than all the other fields, and therefore you can't force us to give it to you without any further compensation. Rabbi disagrees, and Rabbi says that the brother who has a claim for this field gets it. The next field is the next place we find Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef having a machlokes is inyan, the subject that we're discussing now. How long can one retract on his kinyan? And the Gemara says we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yosef. And the third situation is a situation of mechtsa, a Gemara that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel, where somebody says, I want to give my estate should be divided between my wife and my children. And Rabbi Yosef says that there's a question how to understand that statement. Doesn't mean that the entire estate should be divided amongst these individuals, with each one getting an equal share, or doesn't mean to be understood that the wife should get half of the estate and the children should get the other half. And Rabbi Yosef says that's the way to understand it. He brings a raya from the pasuk that says for Hoysel Aaron Labonov, that there it means that half should go to Aaron and the other half should go to his children. And as the Rishonim explained, even though as a Mitzvah Shem we're going to learn that Gemara, and we're going to discover that really no one in that Gemara argues with Rabbi Yosef, so why does our Gemara have to say Hilchasuk Rabbi Yosef? So the Rishonim explained, first of all, there are questions asked in that Gemara on the opinion of Rav Yosef. And furthermore, as we have encountered many times, Rav Yosef, when he got old, he became ill and forgot a lot of his learning. And therefore, it's never clear if we should truly follow the opinion of Rav Yosef. Therefore, our Gemara explicitly had to say, Hilchasa Krav Yosef. Furthermore, There's a machloikas rishonim, how to understand what the Gemara means here when it says Hilchasa Kreb Yosef. Some rishonim, the Ramban, the Rif, say that our Gemara's comment, the Hilchasa Kreb Yosef, means that throughout Shas, whenever we find a machloikas of Rabbi and Reb Yosef, the halacha follows Rava. These are the only three situations where we follow the opinion of Reb Yosef. However, there are other Rishonim that disagree, and they say what our Gemara is saying, Vehilchasa Kreb Yosef, in his disputes with Rava, it only refers to Machloikis in Masechta Bava Basra. This is where the Gemara is saying that the halacha is going to follow the Psak of Reb Yosef. But what will be the halacha in other places in Shas when there's a machloikis between Rabba and Reb Yosef? There it's very possible that we will follow indeed the psak of Reb Yosef. So the Mishnah said, "A ishes bano," that the situation of a woman to a son and a woman to a husband, brothers of the mother, all of them are situations where one can yashin from them, but one does not inherit them. Hasulamli, ask the Gemara, why does the Mishnah have to repeat this case? Hatan Lairesha, haven't we just learned this earlier in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah said, Hishas Imoy, Vishas Ishtoy, that in the case of a man to his mother and a man to his wife, that these, all these situations, they inherit from them, but these other people don't, that they don't bequeath. So why does the Mishnah have to repeat it? As the Rashbam points out, that why does the Gemara similarly ask that in the first case of the Mishnah said a father and his sons, and a son their father. Why didn't the Gemara ask the same question, that why do both cases have to be mentioned? So the Rashbam answers, because once the Mishnah teaches us that there's a group of those who inherit and bequeath, it mentions all of the different situations. However, the third group of our Mishnah is entirely unnecessary. And that's why the Gemara is asking, why was this case mentioned in our Gemara, in our Mishnah? Answers Gemara, Hakamashmon, what the Mishnah is trying to teach us is, the Isha es Bano, Dumya Disha es Bala. We compare the situation between a mother and a son and a woman and her husband. Ma isha spala, just like we find regarding a husband yashning from his wife, as we've discussed in the previous shiurim, ein habal yoyrish es ishta bekever, that once his wife passes away, any yerusha that comes to his wife after she passes away, that yerusha the husband does not receive. Af isha spana, so too the situation of a mother and a son, ein ben yorishes ima bekever, a son doesn't inherit from his mother after she is in the grave, lahanchel la'ochim an av. That means, let's say we have a situation where a mother passed, the son first died, and the son, Rahman Salam, died without any children. So his yorishim are his paternal brothers. Now, if his mother dies after him, and he yashins his mother, he's no longer alive. Who will be his yarshim? His paternal brothers, who have absolutely no relationship with his mother. Teaches us the Mishnah that in those situations, even though a son, as we've been learning, does yashin a mother, under this circumstance, the son will not yashin the mother. So according to this interpretation of the Gemara, which is the way the Rashbam understands the Gemara, the situation that the Gemara compare are not really identical. Because in the case of the husband, it's the wife who died. Well, in the case of the son, it's not the wife who died, it's the son who died. The Rashbam explains that even though the two cases are not really identical, they could still be compared because both cases are referring to a situation of Yerusha after death. Tosfos, because of this question, says that the cases that are being compared are really different cases. It's a case, the first case is referring to a situation where a husband died. And what the mission, what the Gemara is teaching us is that a husband does not inherit his wife after his death in order that his Yorshim should get the Yerusha of his wife. Rather, the wife's Yorshim themselves will be her Yorshim if the husband dies before her. In this case, both of these situations that are being spoken about are the person who is the Yorish is dead. It's the husband that's dead, and it's the son that's dead, and that's why Tosfos prefers this per case, because the both refer to that person who's the potential Yorish will not get it. The Rishonim explain why is the reason indeed that a son, even though he's such a strong Yorish, is not a Yorish of his mother when to give the Yerusha to his paternal brothers. They explain because the Pasuk says, as we've been learning the Pasuk, that from here we learn that we don't want Yerusha to travel to different families, and here it will happen. Furthermore, the Mefarshim explain why indeed is the halacha, why is this the halacha? So the Rishonim explain because it goes back to a number of halachas that we've been learning. One is the halacha that we've been learning that a husband doesn't have ability to be to yashin beroi kibemuchsik, and since the husband doesn't have that ability, that's why just and now the Gemara is saying that just like the husband doesn't have that ability, we extend it to the same din to the son. Another pshat that I saw the Rishonim suggest is that the halacha is that a husband is a different type of relationship. We've discussed this case, this concept many times, that the husband is considered a very different type of relationship, and because he's a different type of relationship, it's only considered a relationship of she'er and not a relationship of kurva, of actual relation of being a relative. So our Gemara is saying, so just like by the husband, where it's understandable that that the Yerusha doesn't pass on after death, our Gemara is saying, so too will be the halacha regarding the son and his paternal, the son and his paternal brothers. I also saw interesting machlokes harishonim in this case. Our Gemara is clearly teaching us that if the son died first, didn't leave any children, Rachman Litzlan, and then his mother dies after him, and his only Yorshim are his paternal brothers, so the halacha our Gemara just taught us is that those paternal brothers will not be the Yorshim of their brother's mother. What will be the halacha, however discussed through Rishonim, if this person still has a father, and the father was not his mother's husband, so he's not a Yorish. Will he at least be a Yorish to the extent that he could yashin his son? Or do we say, since it's a paternal relationship, the halacha al-Gemar said is that if the Yorish is only paternal relative, he's not a Yorish. In other words, the question is this thing specifically said to brothers, or was it said to a father also? So our Mishnah said that a woman is never the Yorish of her son. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Yehuda Rav Shimon, Dvar Torah Midaraisa Ha'av Yorish Espanoi, a father is the Yorish of his son, V'isha Yoreshes Espano, and the mother is the Yorish of her son. Shenemar, because the Torah says, Matois, we learned this concept earlier, this hekish earlier, and that limud of matois teaches us makish mato aim lamato av. The Torah compares the mother to the father. So just like we know the halacha is mata av Av Yerushas Benoit. We know that Aloch is that a father is the Yerush of his son. Similarly, the Aloch is Isha Yerushas Benoit. The mother is the Yerush of her son. Now, the Mefarshim asks, Tosfos asks, that we spent a lot of time learning, that the Torah did not allow, under certain circumstances, intershavit marriages. Because the Torah was concerned that we'll have a situation where a woman is the Yerush of a father, and then she'll marry out of her shavit, then the Nachla will go to a different shavit. As Tosfos, according to Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, whenever a man marries a woman from another shavit, isn't there a possibility that the man's estate will be transferred to his wife's shavit? Because after the husband dies and his son inherits him, it's always going to be possible that the son will die before his mother, and then the mother will inherit the estate of a late husband, which is from one shavit to a different shavit. So if so, even in a case where a woman wasn't supposed to be the Yerush of a father, the halacha ought to be that she should not be allowed to marry out of a shavit. So the Tosfos Rosh answers, the reason that the Torah did not prohibit such marriages is because it's unlikely that a child should die before the parent. The scenario that we just said involves Rachmanot Slon, a parent, a child dying before the parent, and therefore the Torah didn't see a need to be concerned from it. The case that the Torah speaks about is a case where the woman's father dies before her, which is unfortunately the way, which is the way of the world, and that's what the Torah had to make Gzeira. The Tosfos Rosh, however, explains that when a woman, he says another teretz, he says when a woman from Shevet Reuven inherits her son's estate, and let's say her son is from Shevet Shimon, it's not necessarily a problem of Havaris Nachla. Because what's going to happen when the woman dies? It's going to go back to her husband's family. Either her husband's alive, her husband's a Yerush, or her son or his Yerushim, his children, will receive that share back. So even though there is a situation that temporarily, what do you call it, that temporarily we do have a situation that this, that the fact that the Yerusha is going to a different Shevet, it's only a temporary situation, and since it's only a temporary situation, Chazal did not see the need to make such a gzera. Tosfos goes on to explain that we've learned so many times in our sugyas that Mishpachas Ein Einer Kruya Mishpacha. So how could the Gemara say that the mother is the Yerush of the son? That's Mishpachas Ein. And doesn't Mishpachas Av take precedence over Mishpachas Ein? So the Tosfos Rosh says, the concept that we discussed before, is that that's exactly what the Hekesh is teaching us. That a mother is not the same as the rest of the Mishpachas Ein. And even though, as we have been learning, Mishpachas Ein ain't a Kruya Mishpacha, the mother is not just a Mishpachas Ein. She's a mother. And therefore, this rule will not apply. Tosfos, however, indeed says that when Al Gemara and Rehuda Reb Shimon and Al Gemara is taking the opinion that that the mother is the Yerush of a son, it's only in a situation of a Giyaris, where we discussed this case previously, where the Giyaris was a woman was Miskayer, and then she had a child, that she and the child are both Geirim and both related. The father was not Megayer, so he has no paternal relationship. So even though normally Mishpachas Av comes before Mishpachas Ein, here we don't have a Mishpachas Av, and that's why this is the case that Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon teaches us, that the mother will be the Yerush of the son. Our Tana, who disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, obviously is going to be of the opinion that mishpachas ain a krui mishpacha up to the degree that he's not mishpacha, even though this person has no paternal relatives. There's an interesting question. This is regarding a geyrus. There's an interesting question that's posed. What will be the halacha by a shtuki, a man whose father's identity was never established? Let's say he was born out of wedlock without a father present. So he too lacks paternal relatives. And what will be the halacha? The Trumas Hadeshin holds that his estate is declared hefker. Chavis Yoyer disagrees with the Trumas Hadeshin. And he says that even though we don't know who is the father of the shtuki, he does have a father, and he does have paternal relatives. We just don't know who they are. Therefore, we have no right to declare the state hefker, and therefore it belongs in the category of things that should be munach atch yova elyo. The Tshuvas Mayim Chayim makes an interesting distinction. He says there's a situation of a shtuki whose father identity was never known. The case that we just mentioned before, somebody who was born out of wedlock. And then we have a situation of a shtuki whose father left town after divorcing his wife. And we don't know where he is. We have no way of knowing where he or any of his relative is. In the first case, says the Tshuvas Mayim Chayim, the shtuki's estate will be declared hefker. Because we can't ever prove, no one can prove that he is the father of this person, since he was never established to be the father. But in the second case, since it's possible for someone to bring witnesses that and prove that he is the person who was the father, or a relative of the father, in such a case, the estate will have to be left Achi Yova Eliyahu. Eisvei, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. We learned in our Mishnah, Yishes Benah, a mother to a son, V'yishes Bala, and a woman to a husband, V'achei Eim, and brothers of someone's mother, all of them, Menchilim, V'noichlim, all of these are situations that they bequeath, but don't inherit. So our Mishnah clearly says that a woman doesn't inherit her son. Now the Rashbam points out that the Gemara could have also actually asked this question from the previous clause of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that a man inherits his mother but does not bequeath her. That, so obviously the Mishnah is teaching us that a mother doesn't yarsha from a son. The Gemara chose to ask the question from the Mishnah's third clause, because that's where this din is said so much more explicitly, and that's why the question is so much stronger. Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda Shimon said to Rabbi Yochanan, Mishnah seino eni dei mishana. I can't identify who is the Tana of a Mishnah. I don't agree with it. Velei Malei, why couldn't it be said that the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Zachari ben Katzavhi, the Leidarish matters? Again, the entire basis of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon's psak, that he says that a mother yarshins her son, is because he learns the hekish of matos, makish matos, haim lamatos haim. We compare the mother to the father. And just like the father yarshins from his son, so too does the mother. We learned the Gemara on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, where we learned the opinion of Zachari ben Ktzav, that said that sons don't come before their sisters, sons don't become before daughters when it comes to the state of the mother. Rather, according to Rav Zachari ben Ktzav, they inherit equally. The Gemara explained that the Tana that disagrees with Rav Zachari ben Ktzav and says that sons come before daughter is because he learns the hekish of matis. And therefore, just like everywhere, the halach is By the estate of the father, the halacha is the son comes before the daughter, so too will be the halacha by the estate of the mother. So we see that Rabbi Zachari ben Ktzav doesn't agree to the hekish. So the question is very obvious. The Tana of our Mishnah that doesn't agree to this Hekish is of Zechariah ben Ektsav to Loidorish Matis. Says the Gemara. Answers the Gemara, Loimetuk Masnitz Grib Zechariah ben Ektsav. Our Mishnah cannot follow the opinion of Zechariah ben Ektsav. The Tani, our Mishnah says, Ubnei Achos. We learned this in the previous Gemara. The Mishnah said the sons of a sister inherit but not bequeath. The Tana, and in explaining this line of the Mishnah, we learned a brisa in the previous year. B'nei achos v'loi b'nois achos. And we try to understand l'may hilchasa. What is the brisa trying to teach us when it says b'nei achos v'loi b'nois achos? What it means is that the sons of a sister take precedence over the daughters of a sister. That means that if somebody died and left no children, no father, no brothers, and no sisters, but he survived by sister's children, the sons of the sister take precedence over the daughters of the sister. And not only do the sons take precedence, but as we learned and will learn, even their children take precedence over the sister. Now says the Gemara, Visakadaitav, if we're going to want to argue that Masnisin, Rav Zechariah ben Ektsav, that our Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rav Zechariah ben Ektsav, isn't Rav Zechariah ben Ektsav's opinion that Echad HaBen v'Echad HaBas Shavim b'Nechseyim, that when it comes to the state of a mother, boys and girls are equal, so soon, why would that halacha be that, why would halacha be that the nephews take precedence over the nieces? So obviously, our Mishnah can't follow the opinion of Zechariah ben Ektsav. Ask the Gemara, v'tana didan. Now let's try to understand our Tana. Manashach, idarish matis, if he does follow the drasha of matos, then the halacha should be ishanami tirish espana. As Rabbi Yehuda Reb Shimon says, we compare the mother to the father, and just like a father is the yairish of a son, so too should the mother be the yairish of a son. If, on the other hand, loy darish matis, so ben the kainal bas, benichseyam nolei, where does he take this halacha that boys take precedence over girls in all situations of Yerushas? Answers the Gemara, Loilam Darish Matis. He actually does follow the Gzeirus Shava of Matos. And since he takes the Gzeirus Shava of Matos, that's why a nephew takes precedence over the niece. V'shani Hacha. So why over here, if we learn the Hekish of Matos, shouldn't a mother be the Yerush of her son? Damakrav Kobas Yereshes Nachla. Yereshes, the Torah is teaching us that a daughter inherits a mother, but she does not bequeath to her. The word Yereshes seems to be extra, and it's here to teach us that the Pasuk here is talking about a case of a daughter who's inheriting from two tribes, of a mother and a father, and the Bryce is teaching us, the Pasuk is teaching us, that although the daughter is inheriting from two tribes, she doesn't give to two tribes, she can only bequeath to one. Which one? To a father's family, not to a mother's family. That's how the Rashbam learns. He also quotes a Rabbeinu Chananel that says that the Pasuk uses the words V'kabas Yereshes Mimatos. There's an extra mem at the word Mimatos that only one, Mimatos, only one Shevet could receive a Yerusha, not two. Only the father's Shevet will receive Yerusha, not the mother's Shevet. And from here we see that the mother is not the Yerush, and that is the opinion of our Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah, that the mother is not the Yerush of a son.